Hi, this is Pastor Rob Summerall here, lead teaching pastor at Crossroads Baptist Church. You know, here at Crossroads, we have been blessed with a number of men who are very capable preachers of God's Word. Some of them are pastors who've either retired or they've moved on from different seasons of ministry, and they find themselves at Crossroads while they're resting and recovering. Other men are young men who aspire to ministry one day where they will serve the Lord, either as church planters or missionaries or lead teaching pastors. We came up with this idea of using their gifts and talents in a, what we call a preaching summit. We gave each one of them an assigned text from the book of James and a roughly 20-minute time spot where they could present the Word of God to us. We crammed 9 sermons into 5 different sessions, and boy, can I tell you, our church was blessed by this. The audio that follows this is one of the messages from that preaching summit. We hope that it will bless you in the same way that it's blessed us. We hope that you'll pray for these men, that God will use them in the days ahead. And listen, if you're looking for a place to worship, be sure to tune in after this sermon where you can find out more about how you can connect with Crossroads Baptist Church here in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. God bless you.
Good evening. Wonderful to see you all out there. I'm going to preach from James 3, verses 1 to 12 this evening. And I always have to bring my glasses up because I can't tell if I can read my fonts or not. So I'll be back and forth with that. But I was grateful when Pastor Rob gave me a call and asked me to fill in. And then I looked at the text and I thought, I am no master of this text. And anyway, but I had providentially preached on this not long ago, so I had kind of struggled through it. And still, it is a tough text, I think, for all of us, if we're honest, to take a look at this. So what I'd like to do is go ahead and read through it first, and then we'll jump into the message. Hear now the word of God from James 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should be teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach are judged with greater kind of strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle all of his body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide all of the bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, yet they are guided by a small piece wherever the will of the pilot will send it. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small thing, a fire. And the tongue is a fire. It is a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and itself is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature that can be tamed has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of poison that is deadly. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image and likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and salt water? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine make figs? Neither can a salt pond give what is fresh water. This ends a reading of God's word. Let's pray that he would bless it to us. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word that you have given us and kept for us by your Spirit. Lord, we ask that this evening you would let us not just be hearers of the word, but may we understand it. May it reach into our mind and into our hearts and into our lives and even into our tongues so that all of our lives, Lord, would be pleasing to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the tongue, what do you do with that thing, right? It's a problem. I used to joke with people that the only way to tame it, you have to actually physically grab it with the hand, and you all can try that if you like. Almost no one does it. A lot of times I've done this, but anyway, it works. I mean, if you're ever in a bind, just grab it or you can bite it so that it can't move. But if it moves, often there is trouble with the tongue. So I have to confess, I shouldn't confess this up front here, but I am a great sinner. People wonder how great. Well, this is how great. I cannot drive from my house to Kroger and not curse man. It's 0.8 miles from my house. I measured it. And the funny thing was, I was working on this text weeks ago in the afternoon. I go, oh, I got to go to Kroger. I live right down the street. How hard can that be? Well, it is hard. And in my defense, some people in Elizabethtown cannot drive. I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody here, but it's not that hard. But for some reason, where I live, there's Mulberry Street and there's Ring Road and there's 65. And then some guy put in a car wash place that shoots cars out at weird angles right into an intersection, and there's just no easy way to get there. And I literally look at this. I go to Kroger. I don't make it to the parking lot before I've said something about somebody driving their car, so I feel bad. And then I get in the parking lot, and then I say something else. Now, not any kind of crazy word that might overly offend you, but still something. Idiot, fool, something that came out of my mouth. You know, learn how to drive, something. And again, the world is fallen, so it's not just me. But I was struck, like, you cannot get from your house to Kroger and not curse somebody with your tongue. I was convicted by that. It's the simple little things. But think of how many times in your life your tongue has gotten you into trouble, or the things you regret, or the things you have said. This is a constant among all people. If we're honest, the tongue gets us in trouble. It's a problem for everybody, not just for me. Don't take offense, but some of you are great sinners too. Just a few. Go ahead and raise your hand. Anybody else? Great. Okay, a few. The tongue, it gets us. It is a problem for all of us. Now, he's talking about teachers here, but he stretches it out to everybody, right? If you look, he says, we all stumble in many ways. All of us, anybody who talks, stumbles. I recall years ago when I was an intern at a church, the pastor, he and I would talk about holy things, you know, righteous and holy good things. And at the end of our conversation, he would always, I didn't know it was a proverb at the time, but he was always end with this from Proverbs 10, when words are many, sin is not lacking, Lord. So forgive us for what we have said. And here I am talking to a pastor in a church, and he says this after our conversation, because the tongue is so troublesome. Jesus says this in Matthew 12, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have an account of every careless word they speak. Every word. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. You think that speech is not a problem, then hear what Jesus says. It is a problem. It is one for all of us. Most difficult, he says, coming down here, he says, and if anyone does not stumble in what he or she says, he is perfect. Perfect, able to bridle the whole body. So you can fool me, and you can fool others, but your tongue lets you know where your spirituality actually is. Right? That's why they always say, if you want people to think you're holy, just don't say anything. Truth, but we say things we regret, things we shouldn't say, because the tongue demands, or it reveals our imperfection, and God's standard is perfection, and none of us get there, not even remotely close. Are there any Patriots fans here? Oh, good. I hate the Patriots, so anytime I can use them in a bad illustration, I do, but there was one game, you know, there's like one or two games that they lose a year. They were getting killed by this team, and I remember Tom Brady on the sideline, he was yelling and ranting and screaming, we must be perfect. We have to be perfect. That's the only way we'll win. And then they lost, and I loved it, right? I love it when the Patriots lose. It's hard to be perfect, even for Tom Brady. You can't do it. But think of what the condition is for our speech. Perfect. But we know, Lord, we're not perfect. So tongue gets us in trouble. It is a common problem to all of us. So let me help you out here. Just admit your failure here. You know, many of the Proverbs, if you read that, concern speech. What we say, what we don't say, because it's a common sin that afflicts all of us. You're not uncommonly bad if you have difficulty with your speech, but it is endemic to mankind. It reveals who we are. And so again, we can fool ourselves on Sunday morning. You can come to church and you can look nice. But what if we had a tape of you driving home? Some of you wouldn't get home maybe before something came out that you regretted. Or how do you talk to your family members when no one else is there? I'm always afraid now because my wife has that thing in the house that listens to you and does what you tell it to do. And I know it tape records me, and I'm always terrified. It's gonna be on YouTube someday or something. And so but just imagine God hears everything that you say. He's not fooled, as though we might be fooled. The way to get ahead here is acknowledge you need God's help. Admit that even for something as little as your tongue, your speech, you need God's help in order to please Him. That's the start. Well, let's talk more about the problem. In verses 3 and 5, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. He says, we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, guides the bodies. Look at ships. They're big and driven by winds, but they're guided by the little piece. He's got a rudder that he steers there. The tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is little. That's why it's deceptive. You think the tongue, you know, maybe the hand, the foot, these are the things that sin. But James says the tongue, that little thing inside of your mouth, sets the world on fire. I would guess if you're like me, most of you can remember things that people have said to you decades ago that still hurt you, or make you angry, or make you sad, or things that you said that you wish dearly that you did not say. The tongue, it is amazing the weight that our words have in people's hearts and in their lives. It is extremely powerful. It is deceptive. In the film, The War of the Worlds, you've probably seen that great, great film. And so the aliens arrive on Earth, and they are more advanced than we are, and they are wiping us out, and there's nothing we can do. They try the nuclear bomb, and that doesn't work. And they pretty much know we are out of answers. This is beyond our control. Well, at the end, the ships start to wobble and fall over, and they find out the aliens have died, and what killed them was microbes. Tiny, unseen microbes got into their immune systems and killed them. It was the littlest thing that did most of the damage. Think of your tongue that way. We sometimes say, well, it doesn't matter what you say, it's what you do. There is a truth there, but I would caution. It does matter what you say, because words do things. They do things as you say them. They do things in people's lives. Our speech is vitally important. I'll find one place the proverb says that good speech is like a spring of life, whereas poor speech, right, saddens the heart. That is the power of your words, though tiny. In fact, he says, one spark sets the whole forest on fire. One little word can change someone's life. One little word can turn a friend into a foe. Conversely, one little word can turn a stranger into a friend. Words are extremely powerful things. Very powerful. Use them wisely. In this day and age, it's terrifying with the social media and all of that, and how quickly you'll notice that it's always interesting. The famous people, they will tweet, and then they will untweet because they tweeted too, like they didn't think about it, and they shoot these things out there because everyone wants to talk first. I guess the guy who talks first wins, and you get all the followers, but they do a lot of harm, and then they have to retract, and then they have to deny, and then they have to remove because there's this desire to use my words to my advantage to make people think I'm something. But if we were slower in our speech, if we weren't concerned about trying to impress people by what we said, but we're concerned about, is this good for them? Is this true? Is this noble? Is this helpful? Then you don't need to be first. You just need to be best. And so use your words wisely. They are very powerful, both negatively and positively. We go on, verses 6 to 12. This is a bad, bad problem. In fact, the language James uses here is about as strong as you'll find in the scriptures describing something, verses 6 to 12. I'll just share a part of it here. The tongue is a fire in a world. It is a world of unrighteousness. A world. It stains the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And the problem, he says, is from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. James could not be more clear. The tongue is a bad problem. It is evil. He says it has set itself on fire by hell. Now, he's talking about the improper use of speech. There's a proper use of speech. There's a blessed use of speech. There's a glorious use of speech. But he's saying for those who are using their speech for self and out of pride or in order to harm, he said that impulse, it doesn't come from your, you know, some people, well, I'm a truth teller. That's how I am. That's what I do. Maybe. And maybe you're just prideful. Maybe you just like to hurt people. I mean, there's all kinds of ways, but he says it doesn't come from a good place. It's set on fire by hell. Destructive speech, lying speech. It's not a cute thing to God. People wink at it, and well, everybody does it. I mean, gossip is kind of commonplace, and no one seems to care. But, it, you know, gossiping, as silly as it sounds, is very hurtful and is often found on lists of unrighteousness inside Scripture. The gossip, the backbiter. But it's just words. But words are powerful. What you say matters. It's important to others. It's important to God. It says it corrupts your whole life, your tongue. Again, well, that's just words. I didn't do it. Your words are something. Years ago, my tongue was all messed up. It had little grooves in it and looked weird. So I went to the doctor and I said, what's wrong with my tongue, doctor? And he looked at it and he kind of said, oh, well, what you have is a deficiency, I think of B12 or something. And that's why you also have muscle aches and some other problems he described. And I was like, yeah, you know, all of that's true. The tongue was merely the symptom of that. I'll say this, as it goes with your tongue, it goes with your whole self. See what I'm saying? As your speech is, so are you. You're not, again, you can fool yourself perhaps, but your speech reveals who you really are. There's no escape from that. It shows who we are. He says, just an example here, they praise God and they curse man who is made in the image of God. That's his example. And again, who here could say, I've never cursed someone made in the image of God? It's easy to do. People aren't perfect. I know. Sometimes they'll do mean things to you. Sometimes they'll hurt you. Sometimes they'll lie about you. And we want to get back and we want to do things. But that's not what God would have us use our speech for. It's interesting. James earlier says this, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, his religion is worthless. You can tithe and your religion can be worthless. You can be faithful in attendance and your religion can be worthless, God is saying, if your speech is unbridled and sinful. It's a standard by which God gives us to know ourselves here. Jesus says at one point, anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. You want to think how serious speech is? It's that serious to God. Surely one of our daily prayers ought to be, Lord, forgive me for what I have said. and what I have not said, perhaps when I should have said, and I didn't have the courage, and I didn't say it. But sins of the tongue, sins of speech, are common enough and are indicative of who we are. So you might ask, well, what do we do about that? Earlier I told you, just grab it. If you hold it, or you bite it, you know, sometimes I literally have bit my tongue, just don't move, tongue. If it can't move, it can't get you in trouble. Unfortunately, the heart's still going and the brain is still thinking, and it's just not coming out. So that method works in a way. But I'll tell you this, the problem is inside of us. It comes from the heart. The solution is outside of us. That's the hopeful part. I'm not just going to tell you tonight, you know, here's eight tricks to try to tame your tongue, which may be helpful. I'm not denying that strategies can help us. But ultimately, if God has not worked in your heart and in your spirit and given you a new mind and a new will and a new desire to please him, your tongue will keep doing what it's doing. And even as a Christian, if we haven't submitted our speech to him, said, Lord, be Lord even over my speech, my tongue. What do I say? Guard my words today. The older I've gotten, you get in your 50s, you start to think about life and you start to regret things. And so there are many times I've thought, I wish I'd have never said that. And I can't take it back, right? I wished I'd have never said that thing. And so I pray, Lord, you know, watch over whatever I say today. Even if I have a mundane day and I think I'm going to go in the office and do whatever I do in the office, I don't know that anything spectacular is coming, but I still pray, Lord, guard my speech today. Help my words to be truthful, encouraging, edifying, useful to other people. God gives us. Earlier in James, we find these verses from chapter 1. If any of you lacks of wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously of all. If you need to be more wise in your speech, ask God, who gives generously to all. God wants your speech to be a blessing to other people. He wants it to flow out of you to bless them and to glorify him. If you think about it, it really is a high calling and a privilege how God wants to use our mouths each day in ways that we can't predict, but that he gives us. But if we will seek him and pray, prayerfully come to him about even our words, we're acknowledging, Lord, I'm really not in control completely of any area of my life. I need you. I need your spirit to guide me, to help me, to be the person that you would want me to be. And elsewhere, James says, put away all filthiness and wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The word of God, by his spirit, will work in your life and in your heart and in your mind, and he will guide your speech. I don't think any of us will get to perfect here in this life, but we're on the way. But I want to encourage you, pray that, seek that your speech would be something that is God-like and that is pleasing to God and that will be glorifying to God. My prayer for all of us is that is our prayer every day and that our speech would bring joy to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the gift of speech. Lord, help us not to be careless or proud or foolish. Help our words to be strong and true and good and bring health to our neighbor and bring glory to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this sermon, which took place during our 2020 Preaching Summit. We invite you to join us live every Sunday morning at 401 West Poplar Street in Elizabethtown.
We have life groups for all ages that begin at 9:15, and our worship service starts at 10:30. Please stop by our Welcome Center, and we'll be happy to help you get to the right place. For more information about our church, who we are, or to learn more about opportunities for worship, visit us online at crossroadsetown.com.
If you need someone to talk to or pray with you, you can also find contact information about our elders, deacons, and staff. Any of us would love to hear from you and pray with you.
We pray that this sermon has blessed you the way that it has blessed us, and we look forward to meeting you soon. God bless you.